and greetings to everyone. We have just completed the festival or the memorial of trumpets a few days ago, and I started to think about the impact of what the day represents, and I want to review historically what's happened a little bit on this day and take a look at the main events that are going to be happening in the future. Let's start by looking at Leviticus 23, where the day of trumpets is first talked about and the instruction is given by Moses to keep this day and to honor this day, to memorialize this day. In Leviticus 23, starting in verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, but you shall make an offering made by fire unto Yahweh." The instruction is really those two verses. And it says it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. So that's what we have to go on, what the day is all about. The word memorial is from the Hebrew word zikron, and it means a record or a memento. This word record and memento is like keeping a list of what this memorial is all about. If you think about in the United States, one of the holidays that we have on our calendar is a day called Memorial Day. Now, it's not about blowing trumpets, but it is about memorial of the wars and the fighting and all the wars that we've had historically, primarily the World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War are memorialized on that day. We review the record of what happened on those days on this Memorial Day, something like what Yahshua wants us to do on this memorial of blowing trumpets. Have a record, have a memorial. Remember how trumpets were used historically. Now, trumpets, when you study into the usage in the Old Testament, we find that a trumpet was used to bring in the new moon. Every month, the new moon was, when the new moon occurred, the trumpet was sounded. All of the holy days outlined here in Leviticus 23 are brought in with the blowing of trumpets. The trumpet was used as an alarm for battle and war during the time of Israel in the Old Testament. Kings were proclaimed by the blowing of trumpets. And of course, the item that is left, that's the largest blowing of trumpets that we're all looking forward to, is going to be the return of Yahshua Messiah. When the final trump blows, he will return. And there's a lot of events that are going to lead up to this blowing of this last trumpet. And I want to take a look today at what those events are. There's a whole list of them in a number of places, but Matthew 24 is one of the main places that we'll be using today to look at the events. We're going to take a look at the major events that culminate in the Messiah's return. But before we take a look at the events that lead up to his return, let's look at the end result. Let's look at the event that we're really talking about here, and we'll go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." So this seventh angel that's sounding the trumpet is an incredibly significant event. And in Revelation chapter 20, we get a little bit more about this event. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Messiah, and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this is an event to look forward to, one that I sure want to be a part of, and I'm sure you do too. And also in Revelation 21, verse 7, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. So quite an inheritance we have to look forward to. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I wonder, when I read all things, what's not included in all. Is there anything missing in the term all things? I think not. I think all means all things. Too much for us to really comprehend. So let's back up now from where the return of Yahshua occurs on this seventh trumpet, as it's defined here in the scriptures. And let's see what events are going to lead up to it. It's an amazing list of activities and events. And let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is a well-known set of scriptures. I'm sure everybody has studied it to one degree or another, but it's rich in meaning and rich in information about the end time. Starting in chapter 24, verse 1, and Yahshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. So Yahshua had just left the temple complex, left through his normal pattern, which would have been the east gate, and his disciples were with him. He had been witnessing to all of the people in the temple area, but his disciples and him left. And as they were walking over towards the Mount of Olives, which was Yahshua's practice and where he went when he wasn't at the temple building, Yahshua said unto them, looking back under the Kidron Valley, when they got up to the Mount of Olives, they could see over towards the temple, and they could see the temple building standing and all its magnificence. Yahshua said, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he's talking about the temple. The temple is going to be thrown down. Now, when you study into this Matthew 24, the full chapter, you find out that it's really a dual prophecy. The prophecy of the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, which is being referred to here, about 40 years from the time Yahshua told his disciples these things, the temple was destroyed. So he's talking about that, but he's going to go on to talk about an end time when situation in the world and events are really going to be catastrophic. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. So now they're going to get a private briefing from the Messiah on the events that are going to take place as the end time comes. He says unto them privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? His disciples are saying, when are these things going to be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Now, of your coming means his second coming, of course. And then the word world in the Greek is really aeon, which means the end of the age. So we're talking about when are you going to return, Master, and what's the end of the age going to look like? And Yahshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing that he said. Take heed that no man deceives you. I think of a scripture, another scripture that is in Matthew that Yahshua said early on in his ministry, and let's go there. It's in Matthew 7, chapter 13. So many, take heed that nobody deceives you. Let's go over to Matthew 7, verse 13. And Yahshua is saying, enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Wide is the way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be. This word few, when you look it up, you find out that it means a puny few, not very many, in other words. I think sometimes when I talk to others about this subject of wide is the gate and few are the ones that find it, if you went to some type of a business meeting or a public meeting in your own town, and there were, say, 100 people there, and somebody is giving a presentation, but you kind of look around the room and you say, well, there's 100 people here, but over in this one corner there are a few sitting all by themselves, kind of isolated and separated. Probably people have seen this where there's a little click of a few sitting off by themselves. So out of the 100 people, how many are a few? Well, it's probably not half. A few aren't half of 100, and a few probably aren't even a quarter. A few are probably, you know, the number you could count on one or two hands worth of fingers. And it's not a very big number, I think, that's a puny few, probably just a few, 5, 8, 9 or something like that, single digits. So beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. This is verse 15 of chapter 7. In verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather figs of thorns or figs of thistles? You'll know them by their fruits. You think of out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you'll know them by their fruits. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So those of you that are farmers know that good plants produce good crops, and infected plants that are growing up in weeds or that have some type of a blight, they don't produce very good fruit. So that's what Yahshua is getting across here, that there's not many that are going, there's going to be a lot of people called, but there's only going to be a few that find the narrow path. Back to Matthew 24. In verse 5 in Matthew 24, because many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and shall deceive many. Now this word, come in my name, the name in the Greek means authority and character, let alone a false name, a name that Yahshua never knew when he was on the face of the earth, nor the disciples, nor anybody until about 1500 AD. So there's a lot of deception going to happen with his name alone, and they're going to say that I am that person. I am the Messiah, and that I'm going to deceive many. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and earthquakes, and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Notice we're waiting for the seventh trump to sound. Notice that the seventh trump has not sounded here. There's no indication that it's sounded. We're just getting started with the troubles. And in verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrow, only the beginning. And there is no seventh trump heralding the return of Yahshua Messiah. Verse 9, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Hated for my name's sake. I can't help but think that those that have the true name of our Father and His Son, Yahweh and Yahshua, are going to be a part of this affliction that's being talked about here. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It's interesting to look up the words here of offended and betray. And then shall many be offended. A lot are going to be offended. So this is the opposite of a few. The word offended is from the Greek to scandalize, entrap, snare, trip up, or entice to sin. So there's going to be people that are going to try to entice you to sin, to trap you into sin. And then they're going to betray you, and that means deliver you, recommend, and put in prison those that they've betrayed. So the society is really going to go upside down here. Neighbor is going to be turning in neighbor, and why would that be? Because iniquity is going to abound. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So how can this be? If we're watchful and vigilant, how can it be? And notice, the seventh trump still has not sounded. And here it is, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity means lawlessness in the Greek. Now, what law are we talking about? Lawlessness. Are we talking about breaking the speed limit or not paying your taxes? Or no, we're not talking about that law. We're talking about Yahweh's law, and not keeping it is iniquity. And the society already is going as fast as it can over that cliff of sin, and it's going to accelerate as time goes along. Notice, still no seventh trump. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring the trials and the tribulations of persecution, of world governments persecuting the chosen, called out ones, your neighbor persecuting you because you keep the Sabbath or because you use Yahweh's name or Yahshua's name. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. So there's a big benchmark. The word is going to go out to all nations. I don't know how that's going to occur. And then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. Still don't have this trumpet blown yet. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. So here's an instruction. Whenever you see this abomination standing in the holy place, what is that? Who is that? Have you checked that out? There's a direct command here. Whoever reads, let him understand. You need to go understand this. Do a little research. You're going to find that the Greco-Macedonian Empire had a general called Antiochus Epiphanes IV. He was a pretty bad dude, and he lived in the 175 BC era. He was a Greek. Actually, he had a real name. It wasn't Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was a pseudo name. His real name was Mithridates. Mithridates. Can't help but think that Mithraism had some of its roots in his name, or perhaps he chose his name because he was Mithric. I don't know about that. But he lived in the time of the Maccabees. For those of you who might have studied the temple in that time and the desolation that the Jews were put through and the abomination that happened. And this guy, Antiochus Epiphanes, forbid the Jews from worshiping in the temple, keeping the Sabbath, having sacrifices, and he actually put the altar of Zeus in the temple, and he sacrificed a pig in the temple. The story in Maccabees is a very interesting one that probably could be followed up on by anybody to put all the rest of these pieces together. But that's what this is talking about here. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Verse 16, notice the trumpet hasn't sounded yet, the seventh trump. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, there's a couple of points here. One is this scripture related to the time in 70 AD when the Roman Empire was taking the temple and destroying, or the temple and destroying it. And this also will look forward to the time of just before Yahshua's return, when the temple is rebuilt again, and similar situation is going to be happen with armies surrounding Jerusalem. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. Now, why would it say the Sabbath day? I thought the Sabbath was nailed to the cross with the law. And so I think here's evidence here that it isn't and wasn't, and that the Sabbath day is still and always has been a part of Yahweh's law. Still no seventh trump, by the way. Verse 21, then there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. And this word tribulation is useful to examine. We look at it, and tribulation means pressure. Now, when you research what was going on in the Roman Empire, there were two favorite methods of public execution that the Romans liked to impose on the criminals. One was crucifixion. Of course, we know about that one, and they used that one on Messiah. But the other one that we probably haven't read much about is this word that's translated tribulation, and it comes from the Greek word thlipsis. So thlipsis was all about pressure. And what the Romans liked to do to those that they wanted to execute, if they didn't crucify them, they would tie them up and lay them on, just let them lay on the ground. And 6, 7, 8 big Roman soldiers would go find a nice big flat round stone that weighed, 500, 600, 700 pounds, and they would carry it over and place it on the chest of the person laying on the ground. Of course, the pressure of the, hundreds of pounds on the chest would crush the person and suffocate him over a period of time, particularly another agonizing way that they love to torture their criminals. But this word thlipsis is translated tribulation into our language. So there's going to be great pressure is, I think, the point here. And we're already starting to see some of the early signs of the pressure in the society right now. I mean, what's going on over in the Middle East? I mean, we've got an Iran that's trying to go nuclear and an Israel that's trying to stop it. We've got a seething hotbed of discontent in Egypt and Syria and Libya, and who knows where this is all going to go. Weapons of mass destruction, gas and chemical, biological warfare that might be right around the corner on our doorstep. This President Assad in Syria may well be getting ready to use those weapons or turn them over to Hezbollah. That would be a real good thing to do. So this pressure that seems to be on us, we hear about in the daily news, is building and building and building. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if a man shall say, lo, here's Messiah, or there, don't believe him. We already have that. You know, come on over to our assembly. We've got the truth here. We're the only place that's got the truth. You need to be here. And so Messiah is here with us. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it's possible, they would even deceive the very elect. So here's Yahshua briefing his disciples that even the elect, would that include you? Do you think it's possible that you could be deceived? Says here that if it's possible that the very elect could be deceived. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers. Believe it not. Don't believe where people are saying he's going to be. There's some scriptures, a couple of scriptures I'd like to read in Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as travails upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is something like a snare on a rabbit, you know, the microsecond before the snare falls on the rabbit's free. But the one microsecond later, the snare's on the rabbit, there is no escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. We should know. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Yahweh has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Master Yahshua Messiah. And then in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I hear in the news just in the last week that the Muslims in Iran are looking for the 12th Imam, the so-called Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah to come. They're looking for that. And they want to hasten it so that this 12th Imam or Mahdi will come and be their Messiah and their Savior. I don't know, is this the man of sin that's to be revealed, the son of perdition? I don't know, but there is going to be somebody that comes that's going to be a man of sin and a man of perdition. And he's going to be revealed. I think we're going to know who it is once he is set in place. Back to Matthew 24. So don't believe when people say that he is here or he's there, he's over in some other chamber. In verse 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what happens when the light shines from the east to the west? I mean, it's instant. I mean, the light overwhelms the sky, and all of a sudden it's light. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be also. And in Luke, it translate this, I think, a little clearer. For wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be also. Immediately, and notice there's still no seventh trump. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall away from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And the sun, and the, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with glory. So this is talking about the day of Yahweh here, which is a whole nother study. But there is a scripture in Zechariah about mourning that I want to read to you. Zechariah 12, the degree of mourning that's going to be happening. Zechariah 12, verses 10 through 14. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So they're going to realize eventually that they are the ones that have pierced him, and they shall mourn for him. And the word mourn here is like tearing your hair out, or beating your breast and just, I can't believe I did that. That kind of mourning. I can't believe I did that. And there's also going to be bitterness, and there shall be in bitterness for him also, and as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. So people are not only, there's two categories of emotion here. One of mourning, which is I'm sorry what I've done and sorry I've missed the main point here. And then there's going to be another group that are bitter. They're angry over what's happened and the end result. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, and as the mourning of Hadad-Rimon and in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. And as this goes on, everybody is mourning individually. It's not people mourning together. Everybody all of a sudden is realizing what they've done and how they've missed the Messiah the first time, and how they've missed their opportunity for salvation. And now he's returned, and it's too late. People are mourning. Back in Matthew 24. So here we go. After this event's happened in verse 31, and he shall send, finally, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So finally, the trumpet has blown, but look at the events that had to happen. We've only scratched the surface here. We've had the wars and the rumors of wars, and many of these events have been going on historically for hundreds, if not a couple thousand years. But the time is ticking by, and we're coming to that final time where tribulation will start to set in, and there'll be an escalation of events little by little, and we're going to see some pretty hard times before this seventh trump finally does occur. So what are we looking for here? The main event that we're looking for is the return of Yahshua at the seventh trump. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. So this last trump finally occurs. We're looking forward to that trumpet because of the resurrection that happens, that goes along with it. So what we've looked at, what is going to happen and the events that are going to happen. Next time we'll take a look at who is present. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be a witness to these events? And are you going to be among the elect? So we'll take a look at that next time, who's going to be included at the seventh trump and who's going to be there. Until then, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. Shalom for now.